Before we get into today's episode, I want to let you know about a source of powerful free resources to help you as a parent or grandparent get equipped to invest in the faith of the next generation. Our Next Gen website has been designed to help empower you to navigate tough issues with the young people in your life. At Next Gen, you'll find articles, entertainment reviews from a Christian perspective, parenting stories, helpful parenting guides, and even answers to the tough questions. All these resources are free as you engage on the front line of raising the next generation for Jesus. So why not register today at premierinsight.org/resources to receive free resources from NextGen. That's premierinsight.org/resources. And now it's time for today's podcast.
Understand, defend, and share your faith with confidence. This is Unapologetic from Premier Unbelievable.
Thank you for joining us on Unapologetic. I'm Ruth Jackson. And before we hear from today's guest, just a quick reminder to visit premierunbelievable.com for more shows, articles, and resources. And you can also register there for the chance to win a free book. And if you enjoy listening to Unapologetic, then please do consider rating and reviewing it on your podcast platform. But now for today's show.
I am delighted to be joined by Rachel Heffer, Head of Mission for the Evangelical Alliance, and we're going to be looking at some research about the state of faith in the UK. Now, the original Talking Jesus report came out back in 2015, and further research was undertaken in 2022. I'm going to be talking to Rachel about some of the key findings in this research and whether there were any significant differences between the 2015 report and the 2022 report. We're obviously now in 2024, so I also want to know if any of these insights are still relevant to us today. And I suppose after 2 years of reflecting on this research, has anything changed? What have they learned? And how can we put some of this knowledge into practice? Rachel, one of the questions that you asked non-Christians was around conversations that they'd had with their practicing Christian friends about faith. And again, we defined the terms of what we mean by practicing Christians in an earlier episode. But I found this bit of the report particularly surprising, which I don't know whether you did as well. But apparently in 2015, approximately one in five non-Christians who chose to remain a non-Christian following a conversation with a practicing Christian were open to either knowing more or experiencing or encountering more of Jesus Christ. Whereas in 2022, this figure has apparently risen to approximately one in three people potentially wanting to know more. I mean, why do you think people are more open to Christianity? Do you think they are more open to Christianity now than previously? And what's going on there, Rachel?
Great question. I mean, overridingly, isn't it encouraging? I mean, what it speaks to, like you said, the shift over 7 years from one in five people being open to, if they've had a conversation, as you said, to go again and learn a bit more, ask those questions, the shift to then become one in three should really encourage us, but also, again, deeply challenge us as to where do we find ourselves if we're in the playground, the workplace, the gym, the coffee shop, the family dinner table, you know, at different seasons during the year. Actually, if you think of those, say, three people sitting in front of you, at least one in three of those will want to delve deeper into conversation. What do I put that down to? For me personally, I do think it's looking back at where we've been over the last few years. I think the nature of coming through a pandemic, the death of the Queen, the threat of war, the ongoing war, they're looking at the news, this the personal level of, certainly as I see amongst my friends, is, you know, just the levels of unrest, of distrust maybe as well for some people, this unsettled nature of the pain and trauma. I think it has led people to just asking some of those big questions, you know, what do we do, how do we cope, and so on. So I think there is this sense of openness. How it really encourages and challenges us as Christians is that we really need to be, again, asking ourselves, you know, if we see the opportunities are there, are we willing to grab them? And by that, that doesn't mean necessarily telling them everything, does it, about our own life journeys or whatever, but actually just looking at the opportunities to share something of faith. What I love about the question that asks people in the research, as you'll have seen, if you've had that conversation with a Christian, what is it that you remember the overriding thing that comes out the top answer was that they themselves remember being asked first and foremost what they believed. And then the practicing Christian friend or colleague goes on to share something of their own faith. And that to me just speaks of not only a sense of openness, but of a sense of dialogue, that people are really wanting this relational tussle, if you like, with what is life, how do we cope, but wanting to delve deeper into some of those questions of faith too, which should really encourage us.
And I guess one of the things that might perhaps surprise people is that there seems to be even more interest among the non-Christians of the younger generations, which again I think sort of flies in the face of what we're told a lot. So apparently among the younger age groups the responses was even higher, with 46% of non-Christians age 18 to 24 or 40% of those aged 25 to 34 saying they would like to know more about Jesus. Do we know why that is, that the younger generations are more interested?
Good question. So I mentioned earlier that I've been involved in youth ministry for a very long time. I still do a lot of mentoring, particularly of teenage girls, and help run youth ministry in my own church. What I see in young people, that is, and some of our young adults as well, is actually a sense of them being just quite confused with the grey. There's lots of shades of grey out there as we look at our culture, what we're led to believe, what we're supposed to think, how we get, and lots of confusion. So I think where some of this comes from, people's openness to faith, is that actually we should be encouraged as church leaders, as youth leaders, to actually just stand on the truth of the Bible. If they ask us, or if it seems appropriate in conversation, to speak into some of God's steadfastness, God's love, God's acceptance, all of these things against a biblically rooted backdrop. But to see that actually I see within my own young people, they kind of just want to know the black and white. Tell me where the line is, and then I will decide what I think about it. And so I think with all respect to young people and to young adults, there is a sense of actually just wanting to know from people that they trust and respect. And if we're in relationship with them, then chances are they do trust you. They do want to hear what you think. But I think there is a sense of openness, but also people just wanting to know, maybe not so much of the grey, but where's the black and white? And then to bring their own thought process into it to decide where they come from. So that might be just part of the parcel, I suppose, of people just wanting to fathom what truth really looks like.
I think one of the things that struck me as well is that obviously there's some really positive statistics around these conversations, but they're not all positive. So I think while 41% of the non-Christians felt closer to the Christian person that they'd had that conversation with, actually 51% felt less close. I mean, does that mean then that the majority of people that we interact with don't actually want to have conversations about faith with their friends, do you think, Rachel?
Well, I suppose that isn't necessarily represented in the previous stat, is it, of saying that one in three people are open. I think maybe it's just a learning thing for us, isn't it, to really be really wise, really discerning as to when is the right time and place to have those conversations. And part of that, for me, leads me back into a challenge to be deeply prayerful. You know, if we want those people around us in our family, in our friendship groups, to come to know something of faith, or to become Christians and be drawn closer to Jesus, I said, there's a real wisdom, isn't there, for us, as not just the whole church as to how best to engage, but for us as individuals. People in places of pain, as we've seen again through the research, it tells us when we ask practicing Christians, many came to faith as a result of a life event or numerous life events. Often when we see people who are, you know, in places of pain and looking for these answers, then that might be a really great time to gently weave something of what we know of the truth of the gospel, of truth of Jesus, and comfort or peace or love or his help with us. You know, actually that can have impact. But I think we also need to be discerning as to when it isn't the right time, maybe, you know, but trusting God with those people, that it's the Holy Spirit, as we know, who does the work. And we just need to be discerning of when's the right time and opportunity. And certainly I've seen that in my own life with my own friends, even over the recent year or so, to just sometimes on occasions be a little bit bolder and braver and challenge myself to say something of God's truth through a Bible verse or something that's impacted my life, and other times just to leave well alone and to pray for the next possible opportunity. So there's a freeing up, I think, of us as Christians to just be discerning and not have to grab every opportunity, but to be prayerful, but equally not to sway away from the opportunities that are there in front of us, knowing that God could use even the tiniest little thing of truth that we plant into people's lives.
We're going to take a quick break now, but if you are enjoying today's show, please do consider rating it and leaving a review on your podcast platform so that other people can discover it too.
You're listening to Unapologetic from Premier Unbelievable.
This podcast is an outreach of Premier Insight, and it's made possible through the support of listeners like you. And your support today is so vital. We want to thank you for your generous gift by giving you exclusive access to Science, Faith, and the Evidence for God Apologetics course. This 9-module course invites you to learn from John Lennox, one of the most celebrated Christian thinkers of our time, through conversations with atheist thinker Michael Ruse and secular talk show host Dave Rubin. You'll be empowered to confidently speak into conversations on faith, science, and why believing in God is not only reasonable, but logical. The course is free to you to thank you for your gift to help Premier Insight equip more Christians to confidently speak into the biggest issues of our culture and defend their Christian faith with conviction and grace. To get access to Science, Faith, and the Evidence for God, simply go to premierinsight.org/unbelievableshow. That's premierinsight.org/unbelievableshow. Thank you for your support.
Welcome back to the show. We would love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Do get in touch on social media at Premier Unbelievable. Now let's return to the conversation.
I mean, it's interesting you talk about sort of being ready to answer some of those questions and to talk about this stuff, because I think one of the things that really surprised me, you asked the practicing Christians questions about how they share their faith and whether they're confident about sharing their faith. And I was really surprised that actually 77% of Christians, practicing Christians, expressed confidence about sharing their faith. I mean, where do you think this confidence comes from? And I suppose, is it justified?
Well, that to me, Ruth, was one of the biggest surprises that came out of the research. I was, 100% surprised that it came out so high. As you said, 77% of people said they were confident. 75% of people across the UK told us that they did, as practicing Christians, they did recognise it was part of our job, part of the Great Commission, to go into the world and make Jesus known. But if it was left to me, I would have guessed that that confidence bracket would have been at least half of what it came out as. But trusting that this was a credible snapshot of the UK as it was, then actually that gives me some great encouragement to think, okay, we know it's part of our role. We do feel pretty confident. However, as we look at the report, which again is all free to download on talkingjesus.org if people want it. But one of the other stats that came out alongside that was that 42% of all Christians said that whilst they might feel confident, 42% said that they didn't feel that they knew non-Christians well enough, or they didn't know enough non-Christians to actually share their faith with them. So we have this real sort of difference between we feel confident, so we say, and we tick that box to say that we know it's part of our role, but actually we just don't have the opportunities enough to share that. And that, again, is one of the glaring alerts that I came away with from this research. The deep challenge to both the church and us as individual Christians to not be so absorbed in our Christian bubbles, in our church meetings, in our ministry worlds, whatever that looks like, but to be really intentional to actually live out some of that confidence and to actually inhabit spaces which are going to bring us up alongside in social settings or otherwise with those that we're trying to reach, because we want them, genuinely want them, to come to know of the love of Jesus. So there is this difference, as you said, high levels of confidence, but maybe not the opportunity. And that's certainly something for us as the UK church to be working on.
Yeah, and that was particularly an issue, wasn't it, among the 18 to 24s, that they didn't feel like they knew someone well enough to be able to invite them to things. And I guess the other significant barrier to people sharing their faith was not feeling like they could answer the questions. So what do we do about this? The A, not knowing someone well enough to invite them to things or to talk to them about faith, and then the not feeling confident to be able to answer questions.
Yeah. Well, it was 40% of the UK, wasn't it, who said, or the practicing Christians who said, yeah, I do admittedly fear the big questions if getting into conversations. I wasn't surprised by that. And to be honest, I thought, yeah, fair play. You know, most of us have been there. We fear the big questions, not always needing to know the answers. But I think there is a work to be done for us as Christians individually and as the church to actually be releasing ourselves from the fact that, you know, the gospel still works even when we don't have all the answers. We don't need to know the Bible inside out, do we, to be able to actually engage with our friends, to draw them closer into, you know, looking at a Bible app together or putting a gospel in their hand. Going back to the earlier piece of research that said that 22% of people will go to the Bible to explore faith. So there is a real challenge there, I think, as to just, yeah, how we release ourselves to actually get into conversation whilst we may fear some of those questions, being okay to say, I don't know the answer to that, but I'll find out and come back to you. But as you said, I think there's a releasing too of ourselves to say, if we want to be in the places and spaces where we do genuinely have the opportunity to interact with those who don't yet know Jesus, then what are we going to do about it? How do we free up our time, the opportunities to do that? And we've had recent conversations at the EA with organizational and church leaders basically asking that question. How do we enable whole church communities to be free to say to their friends, do you want to go bowling? Do you want to go for a curry, for a pint, for a walk, you know, whatever it might be? And so actually there may be an intentional releasing of some of the church meetings that we're in, dare I say, so that actually we see a raft of Christians across the UK be freed up to do life and faith alongside people. So it's taking that confidence, isn't it, but upping the level of the opportunities to be inhabiting those spaces, and wherever they may be, to bring us alongside people who really need to know of the love of Jesus in their own lives.
And why do you think it's the younger Christians who are more likely to have a conversation about their faith than the older generations? I think that particularly surprised me. Again, I think it was 62% of those 18 to 24 have had a conversation about their faith with their non-Christian friends. Why is it that the young people are potentially more likely to have that conversation?
Mm-hmm. Well, I personally think that's really encouraging. I think that where there are practicing Christians who are younger, they are more likely to be of the mindset of, let's just give it a go, let's have conversation, do life in the ordinary, in the everyday. It's fascinating from the very little that I know, but having over the years looked at generational theory around, again, our practices of faith, you know, right back to sort of baby boomers or before, and looking at, you know, all the different generations, that as we know, and I'm, you know, a little snapshot of this, but, you know, there was a sense maybe in some people of slightly older generations still with us today of this sort of privately owned faith, you know, a deep faith in God that has stood the test of time through many years, not for all people, but certainly for some, but not always shared with those around them. Whereas I think what we see today is a generation of young people and young adults that, if they have decided to follow Jesus, then more often in their own way, not always extrovert, maybe introvert, but actually this sense of fervency of, we do want our friends to come to know Jesus. We want them to know something of this truth. And so they're finding ways to do that, whether it is it a better invitation? You know, we kind of release themselves into this sense of, yeah, just come along, muck in, you know, we'll have a good time. Come and join me at church or this event, or doing, you know, mission out in the community. I think what we're seeing is, which encourages me, as I said, just a raft of young adults, young people who are actually have a heart for God, have a heart for their friends, and are really brilliantly finding ways to connect the two. And hopefully, as we hear from many good news stories from our friends at Fusion and other student movements, you know, elsewhere as well, the good news stories of how young adults are coming to faith, or at least having experiences and encounters with God, taking them on that faith journey, is just phenomenal. So we have to be people, don't we, who look for and chart the good news stories as well, because that does bolster and encourage us. And I'm glad to say that through our work at the EA as well, we're hearing lots of good news stories of young adults, young people coming to faith. And again, as we said earlier, the media doesn't always paint this picture for us, but yeah, there's a lot of young people who are really on fire for God, wanting to connect that truth with their friends, I think, which is great.
And again, the report mentioned something that lots of different research seems to have suggested, that actually peer-to-peer evangelism is important. It says in the report that most non-Christians thought of someone that in their own age group as the practicing Christian that they knew. And whether they were young or old, that person, the person that came to mind who was a practicing Christian, was most likely to be in their own age bracket. Why do you think that peer-to-peer evangelism is still a really important thing?
Massively important. I think going back to the research, as we mentioned earlier, you know, it tells us in the Talking Jesus research that where they know us, and when they know us in close proximity and they know us really well, they think well of us. And again, against that backdrop that we mentioned of a sort of cultural sense of distrust of maybe some of the hierarchies, people in power, you know, whether that's politicians, the monarchy, even, dare I say, church leaders who may not be as known to people. Actually, what comes out is, you know, where they know you and they trust you, then they're more likely to want to enter into conversations of life and faith and so on. And they're more likely, whether they agree with us or not, they're more likely to respect what we say. So I think the great encouragement here is actually, you know, this whole thing around evangelism, of witness, let's say, which seems to many people, much less intimidating than we often think. Don't we? Our perceptions of evangelism is the ultra extrovert person on a stage with a microphone in hand. Actually, what this research speaks to is about the everyday witness with the people that God's put in our sphere of influence. So it's not necessarily doing more, it's looking at those people around us. And when they know us and they live in close proximity as a peer, as you've said, then there's great opportunity to have a real impact on their lives. Again, not our work, but the work of the Holy Spirit through us.
And so if you could sort of sum up all of this stuff around faith conversations, what do you think we can learn from this research around faith conversations? I guess, do you have any particular insights 2 years on from all of the research that happened in 2022? And again, I know I asked this in a previous podcast, but why does this research matter still in 2024?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it certainly does matter. I think even 2 years on, the fact that on two sides, really, one is for us as practicing Christians, I think, yeah, we need to, yeah, grow in that confidence of actually how we can, even finding the words to share faith with those around us, but recognizing that from our non-Christian friends' perspective, one, they're really open. The one in three people around us are really open to wanting a conversation. Two, what they remember is that this sense of dialogue, of sharing faith and life and journey, the mess, the grind, the trudge, and all the joy of life as well. And yet recognizing too that we don't need to know it all. We just need to have a heart and a love for our friends and want them to come to know Jesus. In the macro, I think what it speaks to us as the church, and yes, it's great to have answers to know how to explain our faith and speak to it, but almost not overtraining ourselves that people abdicate all responsibility out of fear of thinking that they couldn't do that. So there's this real balancing act. But I think overridingly, I think it speaks to the fact that it is about relationships, about authentic living, it's about being prayerful on behalf of our friends and trusting that in the little that we can share in those nuggets in the everyday over long periods of time sometimes, that actually God will use that to draw our friends closer to Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Unapologetic. I'm Ruth Jackson, and as always, you can find out more about our guests through the links with today's show. We would love to hear your feedback. Do drop us an email with your thoughts at unbelievable@premier.org.uk or get in touch via social media. And don't forget, there are more shows, articles and resources at our website, premierunbelievable.com. You can also register there for the chance to win a free book. That's premierunbelievable.com. And if you enjoy listening to Unapologetic, please do consider rating and reviewing it. Thank you for listening and see you next time.
You've been listening to Unapologetic. For more shows, resources and our newsletter, visit premierunbelievable.com.